Welcome in, kingly brothers and heroic husbands from around the planet. Welcome to this new episode of the Be the Husband She Brags About podcast. This is the one podcast where everything we do, we say, we express aims to support you, yes you, become the marriage transforming hero of your relationship. In this episode, we're bringing up like one of the major topics for every single husband out there. It's like, how do you inspire your doubting wife to trust your lead on pretty much any topic under the sun? Definition to be a leader is you are leading somebody from point A to point B. That's what being a leader is about. If you're just managing, 99.9% of husbands out there get caught in being a manager. A manager manages shit as it is. Oh, I can manage the day-to-day. We'd even use the term. But being a leader is pointedly going from A, where you're at now, to point B, which is preferably an improvement on point A. Yet, have you experienced that your wife gives you kickback when you suggest a new idea or a new path forward on a certain topic? You try to speak into the space with her, a new idea of, you know, you might have read something about parenting, or you just have an intuitive knowing that your kid or kids need a certain way of communication. You have a feedback, an idea, and you speak it into the space. It's like, hey, this is what's happening at A, and I believe if we brought in this idea, this way of communicating, this way of showing up as parents, etc., etc., I believe point B would be better than point A. And you get kickback, you get criticism, you get shut down. She doesn't trust you. She doesn't want to go there. And it gets all into this mangled mess. Could be on parenting, could be on finances, could be suggestions of where to go on holiday, where to go for a meal out. Whatever. It's like there's a ton of different topics and conversations and that can come up in your marriage. So in general, when I ask this to guys, the vast majority of guys go, yeah. And some very often will have very distinct big points where it's like, oh, she never agrees with me on that point. And other guys will go, hey, it's omnipresent. She doubts me. She doesn't want to follow my lead. When she does, she's resentful. When she does follow my lead to a certain point and she does grudgingly go with it, it's like she's very quick to give the kickback of I told you so. So if it doesn't go ideally, etc., etc. So a lot of guys have this issue. I know myself for years, one of my biggest angsts and resentments with my queen was this idea of like, you never trust me. You never trust what I say. You never trust what my suggestions are when we go on holidays. You never trust me in money. You're not trusting me in my business. You're not trusting me. And again, it's all going around. Point A is where we're at. And leadership is about going from point A to point B. So my major resentment with her is you don't want to go to point B. And when you do go, you just break my balls so much that it's almost like, guys, what I ended up doing was pure nice guy bullshit. I have more of a masculine core now. And this episode will go into how I now relate to it. And it's in a, I'd say, a super effective and successful way that I want to share with you. But in my past, I definitely got stuck in, it just became so much of a ball-breaking experience for me as a man to suggest going to point B and to pay the price necessary to actually get my queen to change her habits, her ways of thinking, etc., etc., that I was like, just fucking stick with where she's at point A, because she's such a fucking... My thinking was, like, she's such a... inner commentary, she's such a ball-breaking fucking woman. Jesus Christ. And I'd remain resentful inside, in my own mind, going, well, I know how this is going to work out because what I said to do, I mean, like, look at her. And I have tons of topics that I could bring up now that I didn't speak to. I didn't bring to completion because ultimately I did not know how. And I want to invite you into this. Nearly all, like, from a growth mindset, if you're having that issue that on certain topics or many topics, your queen is not trusting your leadership, in marriage and life, that it's a lack of a skill set. You haven't nailed the skill set yet. So let's go deeper into it. The two definitions that I want to bring, I intend to bring again and again and again and again. Well, there's three, but there's three leadership definitions: presence, progress, and protection. In this episode, I'm going to focus exclusively on the dance between presence and progress. Let's define them again. And as I say, I will be speaking these again and again and again, so that your nervous system, every single one of you listening in, can lock them in. They're exceptionally functioning. They're definitions that you can intuitively bring to life in your own marriage. Presence. Presence is the unwavering focus with person you are with or task you are performing until completion. So it's unwavering focus with person you are with or task you are performing until completion. I'll add in here, when you practice unwavering focus with a person you are with, that person, and for this topic we'll be talking about your wife, your queen, she will have a distinct sense of feeling seen, heard, and safe if you have been fully with her and you have practiced unwavering focus with her for a full conversation. Or it could be multiple conversations. Again, unwavering focus with the person you're with or task you are performing until completion. Now, let's go to progress, and then we'll go deeper after that. Progress is leading the conversations and system setup needed to get to your expanding family vision. So presence is about point A. Unwavering focus with the person you are with or task you are performing in point A. It's in the here and now. Progress, you know, leading the conversations and system setup needed to get to your expanding family vision. Well, the expanding family vision is something beyond what's at A, it's at B. A vision is all about the future. Oh, I've got a vision. Well, you don't describe everything as it is right now. It's like, you might say, my vision has manifested, but it's like, it's not a vision anymore. Vision is all about going from point A to point B. It's our genius zone. Like a man is feeling radically alive when he's going towards a vision that is deeply meaningful for him, on whatever reasons. It's why we get caught in the loop of like expressing our happiest moments in business or sports, because it's like A to B. We love the freedom that game gives us. But the vast majority of men, especially super high performing guys that know how to embody progress in business or sports or other realms of their lived experience, they know, oh, A to B, I know how to do that. I line it up, set the thing, get the resources, organize people, speak with them, and you can bring about success in your outside of family home reality. It can be exceptionally frustrating for them because it's like the same skill set that creates success outside of the family home fails miserably when they're at home with their queen. And it's very easy in that circumstance, if you're like me, and I would say like the vast majority of guys out there, to get very frustrated with who? Maybe yourself underneath, but more predominantly we get frustrated with our wives. We start blaming them. It's like, she always has the handbrake up. That was a language I had for years. It's like, my God, she lives with a handbrake up. If I want something around here, I have to go for how fucking long to the point at which, and it's like, she never puts the handbrake down, but I just have to break my balls that much to make it happen, that it's not worth the effort in the end. You can feel with the energy in me. It's like, my marriage was not a happy place to be for me, and by extension for my wife, clearly. She fell in love with another man. I made the job for the other guy really, really fucking easy. And a ton of my issue, guys, was I didn't know how to... The power of these two definitions are only accessible when you dance with them together. I want to bring a metaphor for you of the inherent ways that presence and progress need to dance together, why they rely upon each other. I want you to view presence like being the launch pad for a rocket, like being the launch pad for a rocket. So imagine like a NASA rocket, whatever. Fucking, what do you call this? A SpaceX, Elon Musk, rockets. You get it. We've all been kids. We look at rockets. We jack off mentally thinking, wow, you know. So you've got a rocket, your big rocket, and it's on the launch pad. Presence is the launch pad. For that rocket to be able to take off from point A, again, point A is presence, it needs a radically stable launch pad. The entire success of the rocket's capacity to leave point A, the launch pad, and take its full successful planned trajectory and voyage into outer space or across the planet, whatever, depends upon point A being radically stable, immovable. It needs a launch pad that is just relatively unshakable. You know what I mean? If the launch pad of the rocket starts shaking and they're bopping about like there's a wave underneath it and it's like going from side to side and is losing the angle, I mean, what happens to the rocket? The rocket, if you do a visual in your mind, like imagine the launch pad is shaking significantly, the angles are all over the place. So what's happening to the tip of the rocket? The tip of the rocket is going a little bit left, right, west, you know, west, east, north, fucking, like, it's not a good thing. It's, if you're in the control center for the rocket, you know, 10, 9, if you're seeing as the rocket is, like, the flame is going down, is building up, and all this power, and it's about to launch, you know, in another 7, 6, 5 seconds, and you're looking at the top of the rocket, the tip is all over the shop, and then you look at the base and you're like, fuck, like, do you proceed? If you're the manager of that, if you're the director of NASA and you're looking out at this, do you go, yeah, well, let's just fucking take a chance here? You know, it's like 5, 4, you've got the power to call the entire thing off. Do you proceed with that launch or not? The answer for any man listening in that has any bit of fucking rational connection in his nervous system is there's only one answer. You abort the mission. The countdown, it's like, hey, the launch pad is shaking too much. The tip of the rocket is going here, there, and everywhere. So clearly, the planned mission of sending the rocket from point A to point B is at a mission critical point of failure. So let's stop so we can readdress the stability of the launch pad. It's very, very simple. And yet, that's what we're doing as men. You know, the rocket is our desire. It's our progress. You know, it's the rocket is, hey, baby, I'd love to load up, you know, our lives together as it is now. And I'd love to shoot this rocket of desire into a future point. And I believe that that future point will be a better place for you and I and whatever is part of that vision. It could be something highly specific. It's like, let's do that. We're going to move home. It could be like, let's move home to that house. I found a house. It could be, I believe it's a great idea. I believe you, me, the kids, we're all going to be happier for whatever reasons. It could be an entire life vision. Tons of changes, little and large. And I believe in general, let's go from today, point A to point B in future. So the rocket is full of fuel, it's full of potential, it's full of the ideas. But it needs that foundation. And without the foundation, as I say, in the sort of NASA control center, you're the director of things, of, you know, whether the rocket launches or not. it's going to be radically clear that you're not going to give the go-ahead for the rocket to leave. Well, that's why our queens give us so much kickback. Because presence, metaphorically being the launch pad, needs to be really stable. So if you're not embodying unwavering focus with the person you are with, your queen, you're having the conversation. Baby, I believe we should go here on holidays this year. Hey, baby, I want to do this with our finances. Let's bring in a budget. You know, let's bring in a radical change with how we've been relating with money. I think it's a great idea. Point A, we're not so good. Point B, I believe we can be doing better. Baby, I believe this is the way we need to parent our kid going forward because, hey, I don't think our son or kids are showing up are going to be as powerful as human beings if we keep parenting them in this style. I believe B is going to be better than A, etc., etc. What your wife's nervous system is testing, challenging, feeling into all the time is he unshakable? Can he be fully present with me to the point of completion where I feel fully seen, wife speaking, where your wife feels fully seen, fully heard, and fully safe? And the point of safety is, you know, if you're there like me for years with a nasty ass nice guy persona that is coming off some deep subconscious belief that you just don't get what you want and she's a ball and chain and you're this poor unfortunate bastard that has all these good ideas, good intentionalities, and she's the one that's broken, she's the one that just has trust issues, she's the one that just is a buzzkill, she's the one that her sadness, her doubt, her lack of confidence, you know, she's like this water sprinkler on the joy of life, and that's on whore. You're missing the point of what our queens gift us in these moments and what they're inherently trying to test for. They're testing the launch pad is able to hold space for the power and the force of the rocket that is going to launch off it. You know, a launch pad for a little, I don't know, a firework at Halloween, it needs very little of a launch pad, but the more significant idea, the more stable and immovable the launch pad needs to be. So again, some topics she might go with, but then the size of the topic. But all of the relating remains the same. If you, the major problem I look back, guys, when I see where 99.9%, I'd say 100% of all my issues with my queen came from in her resistance to follow me to any idea or any vision I had, came from my inability to sit with her and, more importantly, sit with the emotions that were coming up inside of myself. Emotions of resentment, emotions of anxiety, anxiety of, you know, is she going to accept me? Is she going to accept my idea? Emotions of sadness, grief of not getting what I wanted in life and not knowing, and emotions of hopelessness. It's like, is there any hope in me ever being able to do this? Emotions of anger, wanting to set a boundary with her, and more aggression, sort of like a nasty, gnarly part of that would come out very judgmental. It's like, oh my God, we're having this conversation again. I can't believe it. Because there was so much loaded in my nervous system, every single time I would come to speaking something that was important to me that I thought was a good idea, it was my loaded nervous system that made it very unsafe for my queen to give me feedback, to give me a suggestion, to question me on my proposed idea. And as a result, it's like because she wasn't feeling safe around me on the topic, and actually, and I'd suggest that you take a really deep look at this, you nearly almost exclusively when guys have this issue, and the nice guy persona is almost all pervasive, and it's characterized by us as men not feeling like we have the right to desire or the capacity to get what we want in life, in the bedroom, in money, with our queens, we have this deep inherent sort of anxiety or fear of rejection from the feminine. I've went into the full psychology of that before in previous episodes, so I'm not going to repeat that just beyond a simple mention. Because we get so frazzled when it comes to speaking our truth, and so fearful of rejection, that our entire nervous system, our plate that we're serving the meal on, is very dirty. And it's like that visceral response, like if I try to serve you a meal, no matter how good it is, with a dirty plate, you know, five star, three Michelin star chef that has cooked it, but I serve it on an exceptionally dirty plate, you're going to be like, man, I don't care how it smells and how it looks and how it might taste. Clean the damn plate. It's like there's rat hair, there's dog hair, there's like mouse droppings on it. It's horrible. And you've served it on a plate that is like, you serve four or five other meals on that and it's just dried in. It's like, God damn, like send that back to the kitchen. You're not going to receive that meal. Well, that's a lack of presence. And that's why, from that lack of presence, our queens are feeling that the launch pad that we're trying to launch this rocket of desire to go from point A to point B, and it might be fucking awesome. Rationally, you may have calculated, done the homework, and you might be maybe right, like inarguably right. That is a better future. Maybe that idea is like black and white. Maybe it's like you got it from whatever, I don't know, the financial advisor, you got it from a dietitian, you got it from a parenting expert, and it's like you just know that's going to bring a better future towards you and everybody in your family. But she gives you kickback and resistance. It's because she knows the launch pad is unstable. She knows that if she doesn't feel safe to bring up her doubts, to bring up her concerns, to speak fully to it, to maybe bring up, hey, there's a resentment because you're now leading. A very common thing is when you show up as a powerful husband and you get directional and you really own your truth. Very, like one of the most common things in heroic husbands men circles is a resentment that comes out when their queens go, yeah, you're full of leadership now, but where have you been for the last 20 years? If you can't hold space, or more honestly, are unwilling to hold space, you treat her as an inconvenience, well, then your launch pad is unstable, because your queen justifiably, naturally, emotionally knows, man, you know, he's just after describing what this journey he wants to bring us on. He has defined point B and we're at point A. It's like, but I don't feel like he's just not safe or receiving anything I say on it. He's taking it personal. Well, she knows, guys. She knows that, well, if that's how he is today and he has all this excitement, well, he's not going to be open tomorrow when, or the next day, or in 2 weeks' time when she's like, yeah, it could be a great idea, but what if he needs to course correct the rocket along the way? If he's been an asshole to me today and he's not receiving any feedback and he's taking it personal and he's perceiving it as being criticism, well, fuck me. It's like when we're at, you know, when I need to give him some feedback in 2 weeks' time, in 2 days' time, in like on a major, major project, like 2 years' time, he's not going to be safe then either. So her nervous system shudders the entire launch of the rocket to a stop. And in some moments, you might just doggedly go, well, I'm launching the rocket anyway, and that's it. And you make whatever decision. You might force her to go to point B. Some guys, I've heard it. I've heard many conversations where it's like, yeah, but we just need to move. That's it. And they make the decision because why? My job, money, like the kids' education, like without money. And it's like, listen, we're making a move. I found a house. And she doesn't feel seen, heard, or safe. And she doesn't pull the trump card of, hey, you know, you're not forcing me to go along with this. And she does it resentfully. She goes from point A to point B. It erodes the thing anyway. And she's going to resist you and resent you for a ton of other things. And this is what guys tell me. They're like, yeah, you know, ever since we moved house and I sort of was the one that pushed it. Ever since you pulled the dominant, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do it with or without her type thing. It creates a lot of karmic resistance and resentment with you. And it doesn't work. So it definitely kickbacks against you if she doesn't feel seen, heard and safe at point A and you pull the trigger anyway and you launch the rocket. She's going to be out to sort of get that idea. And she's going to be out to try and prove that it was a wrong idea. And if she doesn't do it explicitly, her body, she'll go sad. She'll feel depressed. Women, you know, the feminine is the body. Very often, if you force a woman repeatedly or on one major decision to go from point A to point B, like a big life decision, they'll get sick. The feminine is the body. They'll psychosomatically show up something. Men will have mental illness, like a cranial brain issue, because we're head dominant. Women are predominantly body related. That's why psychosomatic issues that show up in the body, like fibromyalgia, etc., is predominantly women that show up with them. So even if you get your woman to go from point A to point B, you launch the rocket anyway, you're going to karmically pay a very, very deep price in the erosion of trust. So what this looks like, and I want you to have more, like I'm speaking about the dysfunctionality of how things have been happening. So how do you actually inspire, you know, your doubting wife to trust your lead on any topic? Well, to state it as clearly as I can, so you have a takeaway clarity, is like your wife will not willingly move to B until she feels seen, heard, and safe at A. Now, seen, heard, and safe at A is the practice of unwavering focus with the person you're with until completion. So you bring up the topic. Hey, baby. As grounded as you can, if you have a desire, you have an idea, bring it as grounded as you can. State it with simplicity. I have an idea. I feel we're at point A. I'm seeing this issue that's recurring, that's showing up for us in whatever aspect of life. I'd love to go to point B. I have this idea. I believe this would work. I'd love you to come on this journey with me. So you state it from the off. You don't tap dance around it. You have a desire. You have an idea. That's a beautiful thing. You're not putting a gun to her head. You're not doing anything unethical to express something different. But you have a willingness to know that you need to establish that she feels seen, heard, and safe to be at point A as long as she needs until she feels fully seen, heard, and she's feeling safe. So you get to work. You're like, baby, that's my idea. I'd like to bring in a house budget. I'd like to revamp our sex life, etc., etc. You know, suggestions of change, especially when you get on topics like parenting, sex life, you know, there's certain classic topics that can come up that can trigger both sides, you know, in you and your queen. Your practice is to be that launch pad underneath your own feet for your own doubts, your own fears, your own, you know, fearing she's going to reject you. That's the default pattern in your life, in your childhood, etc., etc. So you establish that in yourself, but you establish a launch pad of presence underneath your wife's feet. So her nervous system can feel he's not trying to prematurely launch the rocket. He's grounded in saying, I've seen we're at point A, there's point B. I believe this rocket that I am building, that I have formulated, can take us there to this beautiful point at point B. But you let her know, it's like, I don't need to launch that rocket today. The majority of decisions, like especially on big topics, you don't have to pull the trigger today on most of them. You don't have to storm the galleys and like take over the castle today. The bigger topics are little and often. I'd love to feel a shift. So you meet her there and you let her know with everything that's available to you. It's like, baby, I know this is quite a shift. I'm here with you. I want you on board with this. We're in this together. You know, and when doubts come up, when questions come up, I'd say lead with, you know, in the movement we say, chase the storm or the storm chases you. One of the most relevant topics this is like chase the feedback. One of the most powerful things you can do is to let her know that you're there is, baby, I need your feedback. Are there any blind spots in my thinking? You're brilliant at picking up. It's like, is there any part blind spots in how I'm thinking? Are you picking up any hesitancies? It's like, baby, I want to be grounded for this. I want to make sure that I establish that, you know, if and when we go for this, that I'm setting off and we're setting off with the most stable footing underneath us. You know, I want your feedback. I'd love your feedback, baby. If you do that, you're letting her know you're wanting it. You're making it easy for her to access a path of least resistance so she can go, oh, you're actively looking for my feedback. You're actively looking. You can literally go, baby, have you any doubts about this? Have you any fears about what I'm suggesting? Baby, you know, is any of this upsetting? You lead with it. If there's any of this that is upsetting to you, I want to know about it. I want to be fully with you. I want to make and explicitly say it to her. I want to connect with you, baby. I want to make sure that you're feeling seen, heard, and safe in this conversation before we even talk about making a next practical action or step to move towards this. I want to make sure that I'm with you fully. When you come at it like that, that's like spiritual medicine for your queen's nervous system, where she's like, he's not going to force change upon me. He's had an idea. Good. He's done, you know, bring your best awareness to it. Build the best rocket that you can with the ideas. Don't just spit out an idea, vomit up any idea that you haven't given any proper thought to and go, hey, you know, let's go on a journey. Do your due diligence, depending on the type of decision that it is, and, you know, prepare to succeed and build the best, clearest thinking rocket that, and the best design available. But seek the feedback. Be with her. In that, your wife feeling safe that you're leading, and again, progress is leading the conversations and system setup, you'd be leading the conversations needed to get to your expanding family vision. That's what progress is. It's not incessantly going from A to B, A to B, A to B. A lot of those conversations is the willingness to be an A, completely an A, where maybe your queen just doesn't want to take one more step. Maybe she's fearing the move. Maybe she's been, you know, supportive of this rocket of an idea of moving home, of you changing your job, of starting to homeschool your kids, whatever. And she's had a sudden shit fit. Lots of fears and doubts are just steamrolling her entire nervous system. She feels like she's drowning. And she might have had 20 conversations with you where she's supportive. And in this one conversation, she's just in self-doubt mode and she needs her mountain in the storm. She needs the launch pad there, accessible, where she's like, if I have a moment of self-doubt, if I'm imploding, if resentment comes up, if whatever irrationality comes through me and I'm just emotionally needing to process what those emotions are, what this means for me as a human being, as a woman, as a mother, as a lover, as a wife, whatever, that you will hold a space for her and you will not force her to take a step towards B again until she's fully seen, heard, and safe at point A. Like, this is where presence and progress, it's not a once-off conversation. Oh, you built the rocket in that conversation. you know, you built the launch pad, you shot the rocket off, and now she should just be with you on the journey. That's another blind spot for you guys. I know the thing happened to me as well, but I hear it very often with guys that they're like, Mark, I held space. I had that conversation about, you know, this is what we're going to need to do to get to a point B in the future. A very common thing that guys will say is like, oh, I had that conversation with my wife. You know, it's like, I'm doing this at work, and to get to promotion, like, she's fully supportive. We had the conversation 3 or 4 weeks ago, or 3 months ago, or whenever, like last week, and she was in full support. She was letting me know that, you know, like, staying late some evenings or more often was going to be necessary, even some weekend work. We made a battle plan together, and she was so on board. And then to get upset and to come to me in the circle or in one-on-one and go, and she's having a shit fit, Mark. Like, the other day I was back home like 10 minutes late and she just lost the plot with me. She was really upset. She was crying. She was telling me that she hates this entire thing and she never wanted to do it. And the guys get very upset because why? The masculine core is, well, I had that conversation with her 3 months ago, 3 weeks ago, you know, 3 days ago. I built the launch pad. It was a solid launch pad. She agreed with the rocket. She agreed with the, she did the countdown. We launched the rocket. And like, why is she having a shit fit a couple of days later, a couple of months later? She's having a shit fit, guys, because she's needing to have a shit fit. That's it. And she might shout out things that it's pure feminine expression. The feminine's integrity practice is to be in integrity with expressing and feeling and allowing flow through whatever emotions are there for them. It's not integrity with impeccable use of words. So they will say in moments, oh, you know, I never wanted this from the beginning. She's not literally meaning that. It's like, you always force me to go do things I don't want. You never listen to me. You know, in that moment, it's like, you fully listened to her 3 days ago, 3 weeks ago. You were fully safe. She's not literally meaning never. She's not meaning always. She's not meaning the words, you know, you always force me. The vast majority of the time, if you've done your work, she's letting you know that emotionally in that moment, she's scared shitless. Emotionally in that moment, she doesn't feel the clarity that you had 3 days ago, 3 weeks ago, 3 months ago. And she's needing you to be a mountain, to be that mountain in the storm for her, to be that omnipresent rocket launch pad that it's like, it's immovable. So that if she has a shit fit, she can bring the rocket back down and have the conversation again as often as it needs before, you know, she processes the emotions and goes, oh, okay, I'm back on board. Let's launch the rocket again. You need to be willing to build a launch pad at the outset of your mission. So you want to go from A to B in that initial conversation. But for many different major life events, you're going to need to be that launch pad at any given moment when your queen is having a natural, beautiful, feminine shit fit and she needs her king there to go, I'll be that launch pad. You're feeling scared shitless that the rocket is going off into the distance and you don't know what that means for you today, even though we've had 3, 4, 100 conversations and you've had a lot of clarity in it. That's okay, baby. I'm going to take this rocket down. We're going to park it there on the launch pad and I'm going to come back fully with you at point A again. When you have the willingness to do this practice, guys, you will have put yourself in the driving seat of being able to inspire your queen to trust your lead on any topic. Of course, this doesn't mean like to literally follow your lead to any point. She'll trust your lead on any topic. On a practical basis, like maybe she's just really happy where you're living. But again, you know, like on whatever things, some things she just won't move to be on because it might just be out of integrity with her. But it's going to be rare because what I found in using this system this way, it's like my only limit is a limit of creative thinking. And our limit, myself and Matilda together, is our only limit is a limit of creative thinking. We are finding creative solutions to support the manifestation of my needs, wants, wishes, desires, my queen's wishes, wants, needs, desires, and those of our kids. It takes time. It takes time. But the more we stick with this process and being willing to, from unwavering focus, bring out all the doubts, the fears, the wishes, the wants, the dreams, the capacities, the whole human experience of not just for my queen, but for me, for my kids. And then from there go, okay, guys, well, let's define point B. Who wants to go on the journey? And play this dance between launchpad and rocket, presence and progress. Unwavering focus with the person you're with or the task you're performing until completion. Thus, your queen and, hey, by extension, your kids and yourself, everybody feels seen, heard, and safe. And then let's keep the conversations and set the systems up needed to get to your expanding family vision. Let's go from A to B. Let's make it fun. Let's fucking go. This is cool. Only when you're playing, actively embodying both of those, presence and progress, launchpad and rocket, unwavering focus with the conversations and system set up to go from A to B, fully at A and then go to B. Only when you're doing that will you be like, was it Julius Caesar? It's like, I came, I saw, I conquered. You can have it all, man. Your queen can have it all. Your kids can have it all. It's actually easy. My life is easy. The leadership of my marriage is easy. I'm getting a bounty of what I want and what I desire in every realm, and it's exponentially expanding. I don't say that to brag. It's like I say that to go, wow, fucking wow, I never dreamed it was possible. And it's all accessed by me by diligently doing this again and again and again and again. It's a repeatable process. And I want it available to you guys. I want you, every single man listening in, to know deep down within you, if you haven't disestablished yet, well, then it's just not yet. You haven't got the skill set developed yet to practice this so consistently and completely that, you know, you getting what you want, your queen getting what you want, and you going from point A to point B is a repeatable process with pretty much no resistance or very little resistance at all, that it feels like a super inspiring journey and you're like tearing up in your eyes going, my wife just supports me on everything now. It's like, and if she's not even in agreement, she even supports me because she wants me to be happy anyway. That's what I'm getting, guys, and that's what guys that do this work get. It's a repeatable process. You deserve that. Your queen deserves that. And by fuck, your kids and the seven generations after you are yearning to see the embodiment of this so they know, hey man, I can be, do, or have whatever I want in this human existence. And a wife, you know, marriage does not have to be a ball and chain. It's actually the most beautiful launchpad for happily ever after that I could ever be in. It's fucking epic. If you would like any support and radical feedback and accountability in helping you establish this way of living from embodied presence and progress so that you can be fully with your queen at A and from there go from A to B on whatever the fuck you want, she wants, your kids want, man, check out the podcast description now. It takes 10-15 seconds of kingly courage to book an application call to join us in Heroic Husbands Men's Circles. The movement has went from, it's up at 38 people. We began with 6 guys in the founding group just over 12 months ago. We're up at 38 members now. It's onwards and upwards. The transformation is astounding. All of these guys knowing what presence is, what progress is, how to show up like this. If you desire to end 2024 as the marriage transforming hero of your relationship, book the call now. In perfect alignment with the mantra for movement. Better husbands today, better world tomorrow. Go have an amazingly beautiful kingly day.